Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 107 of the Top Loaded Podcast. And most importantly, he's back again. H, how you doing, my friend?
Yes, very well, thank you, mate. Very well. How you doing? All good?
Yeah, I can't complain. Well, I can complain at all about a certain fixture last night, but I'm not going to be talking about it. So most importantly, before we get into this episode of the Top Loaded Podcast, yet again, a massive thanks to Third Down Displays for powering up this episode of the Top Loaded Podcast. Whether you need card supplies, custom card stands, kits, or if you're going to be just kitting out everything, storage from acrylic cases, which H is definitely going to be purchasing very soon, knowing him. Obviously, slab mags, all the good protection. Also now, custom mats, backboards, grave reveals, everything imaginable. It's there. So just go over there, check them out. And then when you're at the checkout, ready to purchase anything at all on the website, enter TTP10 for 10% off your order. And actually, I have a question on that, H. Obviously, recently, another PSA special for modern sports. So any card which is made between 2000 and 2024, nice to know that they've officially put a date on modern now, because originally it was like 1980 on PSA website, but now it's 2000 to 2024. Anything now that you're thinking, oh, that might have to be sent off now? It's at that, I think it's around the $17, $18 mark now. Anything that has got your eye and you're thinking, well, you know what, that could be heading over to a PSA soon?
Yeah, I think it's got me ruffling a few feathers within my card case. I think I've now sort of got my head around it and thinking, well, now the best time to get a submission going. So unfortunately, there is a certain card that I would love to send off that's currently at a US address. So it's not ideal in terms of timing for that. But yeah, it's definitely a handful of cards that I think I would I'd definitely fancy sending off to PSA now the special has been announced. So it's going to be a case of obviously having to try and work out which ones to send off. And then get them all sent off and hopefully tick off one of my first, obviously, New Year's resolutions on the podcast, which was great with PSA, which, believe it or not, I'm yet to do in my whole hobby career, which I'm probably everyone's pretty gobsmacked at. But yeah, so I think, yeah, it's definitely sort of got my ears burning a little bit in terms of now trying to get some cards ready and send off to PSA. So it's just a case of having to go through the display, go through the card case, dig some cards out that I've had in the back of my head that I want to get graded, and bring them to the forefront now. So yeah, it's definitely not special, definitely a good price as well. So I think if anyone's considering it now, is probably the time to start putting that sub together.
Yeah, I think they're saying it should take an estimate about 2.5 months, but believe it or not, everything that I hear from PSA at the moment, from people using them, are saying they're actually being quite quick and efficient, which is always nice to see. And some people are even getting subs back, which are meant to be taking 2 to 3 months in about 6 weeks. So who knows? It might be even quick. Obviously, it'd be an influx of cards due to it being a special, but who knows? It could actually be quicker than that two and a half months, which is obviously a long time to go about one, two, however many cards it may be. So would you consider now, because it's a special, that slightly more, sometimes it's only $200 worth of value on a special. This one is $500. So it does open up the gate a bit more for certain people. But what is the requirement now that it's coming down to around the £16, £17 mark once you put in all other fees? Is it just PC items that you can now send off that you actually like, I don't mind paying 16 quid just for a PC item that I'm not going to sell? Or is it still mainly looking at potential things that you could move on down the line for maximising profit?
For me personally, it's going to be purely PC. But I think with that $500 max, I think it does open up a whole sort of can of worms in terms of that possible flip aspect of things. You know, now the grading price is obviously during a special period. And with that maximum value being at $500, I think it does open up that additional element where, you know, if you've got a raw card that you've pulled recently in the personal break, or, you know, you've got in the PC, or not even in the PC, you know, you've got in hand that you think, oh, I'll get this graded off and then flip it on eBay, Instagram, wherever that may be, to try and make a bit of a profit. I think, you know, it opens up the elements to both aspects of that. Like I said, for me, obviously, it'd be purely PC, but for the people that want to get some stuff graded and look to sell it on, I think, you know, it opens up that element to them as well, knowing that the maximum value has increased. So yeah, I think, you know, you've got both doors open, and I think, you know, it's going to be definitely a busy time or seeing during the special for PSA, and hopefully they can maintain that 2.5 month turnaround, if not beat it. But yeah, I think, you know, now they've increased that maximum value, I think it definitely will open up that aspect of being able to sort of grade a card and then resell it on for a higher margin. Now they've increased that value. So yeah, I think it's going to be a mixture of both. I can't see it being too one-sided, like it possibly may have been a PC one-sided, obviously, with the maximum value being at 200. But yeah, it definitely opens up both doors now, obviously, looking towards that special.
Yeah, I think it's one of them that a lot of people have noticed the trend of it slowly going downwards in times in terms of cost and time, because you don't really ever want to sink assets into something that's going to be gone for 4 or 5 months. You don't want to be throwing £300 at grading, say, and then having £2,000-£3,000 saved worth of cards there. You don't want that kind of level stock. But now it being 2 months and say 15, 16 quid a card, it does bring a possibility in. But I think most importantly, I think especially for me, what I'm looking at, PC items, you're like, whereas before you're like, would I really want to sink 30 quid into grading the PC card? Probably not, because we knew it would slowly trend back down towards that $15, £15 mark. So now with it being that price, I think it's really effective to get stuff graded in the PC. Obviously, it always helps to have them slabbed up, but it does open that door up now. There's some cards that even now you'd be a bit like, shall I, shan't I? Don't get me wrong, when there's a special for soccer or another modern one or whatever it may be, where it goes down to like a maybe a $13, the floodgates will open for everyone. Everyone will be sending in everything, because it gets to that point where any PC item at say 13 quid, you might as well do it just for that 10 years worth of UV protection on the slab, the extra support you get for it being in the slab. So it does open up the door. And this is another one for you, H. Obviously, certain items are harder to grade. Like for example, treble, like is an eight is a very good grade in that. I'd say the same for women's Domrus. A nine is a good grade for that. And it goes around depending on the set. So I know a lot of people see PSA and like, if it's not going to nine or 10, I'm not sending it. But do you take into account the actual card and the set? Because I think the perfect example for you for first year F1 that you get an good grade on it is a nine. Most cards got an eight, really. A 10 is out of the ordinary. So do you look at the actual set rather than the condition? Or is it a case of you've got to marry them up and make sure it's worth it? Because there's no point sending it if you think it's going to get a six, really, in my personal opinion. Obviously, unless it's vintage or stickers are slightly different.
Yeah, I think it does weigh up what you're hoping to get as the outcome, what it's actually for. For me personally, obviously in terms of grading the PC item, I think if I look at it, or you know, I give it to you, for example, you know, you've got a pretty eye for grading. So if you're saying, ah, it's really not going to grade very well, you might be looking at, you know, a six or seven. For me, it's probably not going to be worth it. But overall, if it's staying within the PC and it's slabbed up, am I going to be overly fussed if it comes back a six or a seven? Yeah, probably. I can't lie. If I come back, if I graded, sent my, I don't know, my Tomiyasu Green Choice Prism to five and it come back a PSA seven, would I be pissed off? Probably, yeah. So I think overall, you have to take in consideration the condition it's in. You know, ideally, in terms of a PC, if I had to grade something myself, I think probably the eight would be where I think I'd draw the line in terms of if I knew it was going to get under an eight, I'd probably be like, hey, it's not worth it. Like for example, I've got a first year Dynasty Gunther Steiner, and I think it's that debate where people prefer them still in that stickered mag, or do you send them off for grading? And the vast majority of the people that I've spoken to have all said leave it in a stickered mag. So I think for me that's out of the equation now. But like you said, I think it does come into account in terms of the condition of it overall, the set, the overall QC of the set. You know, like I said, if it's a PC item, you don't care about it, come back whatever grade it comes back with, you know, it's a bit of a no-brainer. But if you're one of those where it's like me, where I think anything under an eight, I'd be pretty unhappy with. There's not much point in sending it. If you've had it checked over a couple of times and you think it's really not going to grade well, the corners are white and it's off center, one of the corners is battered, it's probably not worth it. So, but I think overall it does, you have to take into consideration a lot of different factors in terms of is it the PC, yes or no? Are you going to try and resell it? Yes or no? Is the overall QC of the set good? Yes or no? And I think, you know, you then got to try and weigh up, is it really worth the more or less 3 month turnaround, let's say, for it to possibly lose value in that time anyway? Or is it a case of, listen, I want to send it off, get it slapped up, and when it comes back with, and I'm not really overly fussed about it. So There's a lot of different aspects when you think about it in terms of sending the cards off for grading, in terms of what you plan to do with it in the long run. But overall, I think if you can look at it and think this is not going to grade too badly, you can't really be too far wrong with it.
Yeah, I think there's a great point that you put. I think when it comes to PC, it's a lot different. Obviously, I know some people that only have nines and tens in their PC, and if that's what they want, that's fine. But I think with a PC card, you always have that leeway of, personally, if it's an eight, obviously it's not as desirable being an eight, but if it's an eight, I'm a bit like, all right, how the market's changed now for pricing wise, a raw and a nine are quite similar. If not, in a lot of occasions, a raw does more than a nine, which if you turn the clock back 18 months, a nine done about near enough, sometimes double what the raw did, and then it was sometimes 5-6x for the 10. But now there's more of a premium on the PSA 10 if you're reselling it. So for PC, for me, I agree. I think an 8 is the lowest one. That if it was a borderline one that I was thinking it could 8 or it could 9, I would probably send it still. If it was like 7 or 8, I'd probably say I wouldn't risk that one. But I would obviously always minimum a 9 you hope for on a card. But I think the one thing as well is good to look at, and I'm going to come over to you after I made this point to see if you agree. I always look at pop reports as well to see what the average grade is of a card. Because if there's a set where it's all they're getting is nines and you think your one could 10, it's probably going to nine. Or it could be even a reverse of you've got a card that you're not quite sure about, but there's 10 graded, eight of them are sevens, and two of ones an eight, ones a nine. You've got to know the actual card. I think one of the perfect examples is the Bukayo Saka Pitch Kings from Chronicles, one of his actual rookies, is that there is a mark on the back of every single card that not many people know about before sending it off. And it's a reason why I think it's 7%, 6% of the pop report is an actual Gem Mint 10. So do you think it's actually learning about the cards is quite essential as well before you grade? Obviously, some people don't care. They just want to get it protected. That's fair enough. But to know what your set is, what card it is, I think another example, any black bordered cards, you've got to know that there's a high chance of chipping on the corners that it will mark it down to an eight or a nine. So is it also as well knowing other cards of the similar thing? For example, I'll just take this random example of a gold sapphire from the women's sapphire. So there's another 49 of these cards out there. There's a high chance that at least five of them are graded. So have a look on the pop report and see what they're getting to give you a rough indication.
Yeah, and I think you've made a pretty valid point in terms of pricing difference between a raw and then a PSA 8, PSA 9, for example. I think we have seen it a lot more recently where, like you say, a 9/8 is not doing much more than it's raw. It's not until you get to a 10 where the pricing probably is a lot higher than it would be in terms of a raw or a 9. But yeah, I think there's so many different outlets, and it's so easy to find a pop report nowadays, particularly on the PSA app and also the SGC app as well. You can type in a certification code, or you can type in the PSA code, and it literally comes straight up with, for example, to give you an idea, you open up the PSA app, and I've literally got on there, like, for example, the Odegaard Dinagan that I picked up recently. So when it, as you can see, literally, I've got the Odegaard Dynasty, the Dynasty Dinagan there. As you can see, it's literally you've got pop three, obviously none high, just could be the being a PSA 10. So, yes, granted, without looking at the full pop report to see how many were a 9, how many were an 8, how many were a 7, you can already see that of three of those that are great, they're not numbered.
Well, for everyone who's watching a long session listening on to this, you might be like, hold on, how's Ronnie talking straight after H is talking? There were some technical difficulties, but don't worry. For you, it was a second. For us, it was 4 days. But don't worry, guys. It's all right. We're all professional here, so it's all great. So, H, obviously, you was just about to talk about the SGC and PSA bot report, and it was going to be such a good point that the internet decided to take you down. So please continue on.
Yeah, my wife, I just thought, you know what? No, you don't talk about this. But I think, touch wood, hopefully it's back up and working again. But yeah, I was just basically touching the subject of obviously the fact that, it's so easy to access pot reports nowadays, obviously through the PSA app or the SGC app, the website, et cetera, and it's so easy just to pop in a certification code onto the PSA or SGC app, and you can bring up the whole pot report and see, for example, how many graded in a pop 9, how many are higher, how many in a pop 8, how many are higher. And it gives you that sort of peace of mind where you think, oh, okay, cool. So if there's a print run of 50 on this particular card, and I can currently see that there's five in a PSA 9, two or higher, you've probably got a pretty reasonably good chance in terms of the QC that you're going to be looking at grading a 9 or a 10. But it's so easy to do a bit of background research and just purely see how many are graded, what grades they've got. And it gives you sort of, you know, a bit of a pathway into thinking or to knowing or to doing a bit of research into sort of gauging how and where this could possibly grade. If you're not that particularly great with an eye, like putting myself in terms of looking at a card and going, that's a dodgy corner, that's off center, that's a bit of a whitened corner, there's a bit of surface damage here and there, where for you, that probably is a bit of your forte. And I can quickly fire up the PSA app and go, cool, on this particular card, there are however many in a PSA 8, 9, 10, et cetera, and think to myself, the QC on these cards seem reasonably high. And it gives you an idea as to where it could possibly grade with just a bit of background research. So, yeah, it's definitely a great outlet and one that you can definitely use, you know, looking forward and going forward in terms of looking to get anything graded, where the pot reports sit on that particular card or that particular set.
Yeah, I think it's, like, just going back to our original point as well, we're talking about prices between raw, 8, 9, 10. I've got a question for you, and I'll answer this as well. We'll take a random card in consideration that we both would buy. So say if we say a gold to 10 Martin Odegaard from this new prism. It was available on eBay, three different people. One selling it in a 9, say for 200. Obviously, the prices are not actually reflective of what the price is, but it's all...
I'm about to say, I'd buy it for 200.
Yeah, hypothetical speech. So 200. The raw is at 225, which on average at the moment, that's what I'm seeing, is sometimes raw is slightly more than a 10, from a 9. And then the gold, say, is at 350. What would you go for? Because obviously it comes down to if you're a gambling person or not. Obviously, you've got to look at the pictures as well. But what would you be siding towards? Whether going down the PSA 9 route, ready graded, the raw route, taking a gamble that it could 10, or just going straight for the 10, which is the best possible card you could get?
See, for me, I'd be going straight for the 9. I think, you know, it's... In terms of, I personally prefer to buy a graded card than I would raw.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would always opt into one of the graded cards. Obviously, some may prefer to buy them raw, grade them themselves, or leave them slabbed up, put them in a binder, whatever your heart desires. For me, it would definitely be all the 10. Somewhat, I'm not a PSA 10 collector, if you like, obviously, in terms of what possibly will be on the card itself. Obviously, so if a PSA item, I know the 9 is going to be $125 less than the 10, I'm not overly fussed. You know, if there was just a raw and a PSA 10 on there, obviously it's a different story. But without me blabbing on, I personally was opting for the PSA 9, would be sort of my go to rather than sort of risking buying it raw and not knowing where it could end up. You know, it's we all say we'd like break like a gamble. If you buy that card raw for $25 and more than a 9, you grade it, you get a 10, cool, you made $100 on it. But you buy it, you grade it, it gets a 9, it gets an 8, you're losing money on it.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with you. When it comes to PC item especially, I always will side with the PSA 9. Obviously, if the PSA 10 is worth it and it's not much price difference, I'd always go for that 10. But I think that's saying it's always way up. I always recommend as well when you buy them raw, just have a look at the pictures. Obviously, sometimes it doesn't help. Maybe an eBay seller has literally just put a front picture and a back picture where you can't see potential damage. Always keep an eye out, because I would always have a look on their page as well. And if it's all, everything is graded and just one item's raw on there, then it looks like they're probably a bulk submitter. So there's a reason why they're not grading that item. So I would always have a look as well at their page, because I think for me, I don't grade cards. So there's a high chance if I was selling something raw, it could actually be quite a good grade. Whereas a few people that I know do grade a lot of cards. So sometimes there's a reason why someone hasn't graded something. They do say sometimes it's too good to be true. Sometimes it can be. But then sometimes someone just can't be bothered with the hassle of grading it. They might have just packed it and gone, you know what, I just want to make a quick flip, get rid of it. So just have a look at different pictures. Worst comes to worst and you're not too sure. I've got to admit, a lot of people are very good at eBay, Instagram, wherever you might get the deal, message them. Send them a message saying, all right, I'm interested in this card. Is it all right if you send me a few more pictures of the corners and surface? Or do you know if there's any issues on it? Because a lot of people are very good like that. And they'll go, you know what, there's a slight mark in here or something like that. So always ask a question if you're not too sure as well. I think I've seen it a lot, especially in America, that they're very good at putting different imageries, especially if there's a card with a bit of damage, even in the description, there might be there's a slight white corner or there's a slight mark on it. Just be careful before you buy it. So do keep your eyes out on that. And obviously, before we talk about the next topic, obviously PSA, we're looking at submitting some cards between us, obviously, which would be nice to have in a couple of 2-3 months down the line where we can look back on them. If you could pick one card, just one card in your PC at the moment that is raw, what would you be grading? Yeah, so obviously we're just talking about what we would want. But my question is, obviously, we're looking at doing a PSA sub. My one keeps increasing in card numbers. If there was just one card in the PC, obviously, excluding stuff or out of PO boxes or en route to your location at the moment, one card in your house right now in the PC, if I said to you right now, right, we're doing the PSA sub, there's one slot left, what card is taking that final spot?
I think for me, it is going to be the Erdegaard Obsidian Red Flood to 10 color match. I think it, overall, I've got a couple other sort of, you know, honorable mentions in terms of like the Nketiah Snakeskin, the Tomiyasu Green Prism Choice to 5. But just purely based on my current love for Erdegaard, the color match. So it would be the Obsidian Red Flood to 10 color match. Obviously, Erdegaard would be the one I'd have to send off straight away.
Yeah, with that,
my only pet peeve with that is they put the floods in the thicker slabs of PSA, and it drives me nuts. So that's the slight reason why I'm not 100% sure in sending the obsidian floods off for grading, is just they come back in the thicker slabs. But yeah, that would be the one I would send off.
Yeah, I think for me, I've got a few others that will go off for grading, but sadly don't. Well, fortunately, but unfortunately, fall under, like, they're just over the $500 mark. So I think out of the ones I've got at the moment, which there's quite a few that deserve to be in V, I think the one for me at the moment has to be my Beth Mead Fierce to 25 second year chrome case hit. Just a brilliant looking card. Nice to get it sent off. And like I say, I've got a rough sub worked out at the moment, which is about 16 cards at the moment, which all of them are, it's 16 women's cards. 15 of them numbered, one of them's a case here. So I look forward to trying to get that sent off. And obviously, when we do finalize our web, we do send off. What we'll do on here is we'll run through each card and we'll give a prediction on what we think it's going to get. And then obviously, however long it takes into the future of when it does come back, we'll then do a reveal on here, show you what they've got, and then be quite nice to see that. So obviously, moving away from PSA for the moment, which is always nice to be able to talk about when they've got their specials on. And obviously, it's been quite a busy period. Obviously, the car show season is flying now. We've had quite a few shows up and down the country. There's more happening as we speak on, obviously, this Saturday. There's two shows today and a couple more shows. But it's going to slowly tail off a bit in a couple of weeks. So it's been a hectic few weeks for people buying and selling at shows. And that was my next, really the last main topic to talk about for this episode. It's actually when you want to get rid of a card, what avenue you want to go down at the moment to sell it, because there's quite a few ways. And this isn't a promotion at all or anything, but I've been closely following along with TradeWee, obviously, since they set up as a consignment group in the UK. I think everyone in the UK near enough who has a US address would have heard of DC Sports 87. Well, that's one of the main consignment groups. Obviously, you have the likes of ComC, Probstein, and a few others as well, but DC Sports 87, fantastic. I've got a load of good cards from them. Everything starts at a dollar. Sometimes you get steal, sometimes you can get bidded up on something. But H, with consignments, obviously it's a bit of a gamble. I know we've said it a couple of times this week, a gamble that it's going to start at £1. Obviously you can request for it to start higher, but most of the time it starts at £1. Is that something you'd consider doing? Sending it to a consignment group like TradeWee that obviously they get higher traffic in comparison to what your eBay or Instagram page would do. More eyes on it. They handle shipping, pictures, everything like that. If there's any problems from customers, we really hope we're going to try and get, obviously, the guys behind it to come on in a near episode to talk through all the processes and like how it's going. But is that something you'd think of? Because I'm considering it at the moment. I think it's quite a good option. And it seems as well, I've got to admit, the prices are doing very well on there for cards that some of them are doing more than comp, some of them are doing very strong. So is that an option when you do sell a card to actually send it to a consignment group?
It's never been one that I've personally considered, but in the same breath, I've never really had much of a clear out in terms of selling a lot of my sort of lot of my card. But overall, it makes sense because every bit of hassle, every bit of stress, every bit of time that you'd normally have to put into selling, doing a sale, listing cards up in the market is completely taken out of the equation. You know, you literally send these cards off to Tradeweek, for example. And everything else is looked after. Pictures, shipping, all the transaction, any issues with postage, it's all looked after for you. All right, yeah, you may well lose a cut of the actual final sell price in terms of what they take as their profit. However, overall, is it worth that maybe £5 to £10 you might lose out on postage, on the time and effort to take pictures and deal with the question, the message and the answers? And the overall sort of time and effort and the actual time scale when you're selling these cards. For me, if I was doing a massive job sale, massive lot sale, I'm thinking I want to clear out auction, would I consider someone like Tradeweek? Yeah, probably. But it depends on, I guess, what you're looking to sell. Like if you've got a really high-end card and you've got, like me, I probably think I've got about 35, 40 feedback on eBay because I never use it. Whereas if you can put that onto somewhere like a consignment on eBay where they've got 100,000 feedback and they get so much more traffic through that, they promote the listings, you're bound to get probably 5, 10, 15 times more viewings than you maybe would do on your own personal eBay. So in that sense, it makes more sense. But I guess it just depends overall in terms of what the card is, the value of the card, how much you're looking to get for it, what time and effort you don't want to put into it, do you want to put into it, as whether you deem that to be worthwhile or not. I think it's a great sort of, it's a great option. I think obviously if you're looking forward in terms of selling a card and how to make the most, how to maximize the value of it in terms of having the most, as you say, eyes on it. But I think there's a lot of different factors to take into consideration when doing that in terms of, what deems to be more beneficial. If it's like a £5 to £10 card, is it really worth it? But if you're looking at, 50 cards plus, all ranging from £25 to £500, you probably maximize a lot more of sales doing it through a consignment, taking a bit of that cut that they take from you, and still a turn coming out of more than what you probably would do selling it on your own, shipping into, taking into consideration postage costs and all of that sort of stuff put together. So I think it's a great outlet, it's a great option for people to use when selling cards, and a great thing for people to consider when selling cards. And I think there's a lot more pros, and there are cons to that sort of consignment business, if you like.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And like I say, I think I don't think people value time that like as much as they should do, really, at a lot of times when it does come down to the hobby. At the end of the day, all right, it's great. Some people, this is their full-time job. This is what they do for a living. But for most people, you're doing your whatever work shifts you're doing, Monday, Sundays, whatever it might be. And it's not always easy to get to the post office. It's not always easy to get the suppliers, resources, time investment. That, all right, like you said, they're going to take a percentage cut, but you won't have to pay. Obviously, you have to pay to get the cards to them. But if you're sending 10 cards, say if you're going to 10 different people, that's 10 envelopes, that's 10 labels, that's 10 postage costs, that's 10 people that could go missing. It's 10 people that could have a problem. And for me, I think what you learn when you, I think it's one of the things that some people, it takes a few years sometimes to realize it within the hobby, but time is so valuable, not just in the hobby, but in life in general, that if you can save an hour, 2 hours somewhere for, say, it's 10% of a card value, £2 on a £20 card, I think it's worth it personally. Don't get me wrong, I haven't used the service yet to give a true reflection of how good it is, how I feel like it's working. I've got a few cards that I might send off them just so I can give a true and accurate feedback to the podcast. For other people, no doubt there's quite a few people listening to this podcast, watching along, that might be thinking about sending cards to them. And if that's the case, I'll send a few in, see how it does, and then I can give a true and accurate reflection of how I felt the experience was. And everything like that, because I think it is a viable option for the UK to have a consignment group. And obviously, moving on, obviously, consignment's one way. No doubt, I think every single person's either going to say, my favourite thing is to do is straight cash or trade. I think trade is a lot more prominent now than it was ever in the UK scene. You've got people buying, selling, trading, part trades, part cash. I think it's fantastic. For me personally, one of my biggest deals of 2024 so far was a part cash, part trade deal where I gave up a Thierry Henry Hall of Fame, Florian Balogun rookie from Futera. And then also, then I got I gave $100 in cash for gold Katie McCabe to 10, green Katie McCabe to 5, and then the 23 rose gold as well, the pink. So it's a massive option as well. Yeah, especially when it comes to a trade like that, it opens a door to sometimes an opportunity that's closed if, when you give up cards, especially if you're in at a card at a cheaper cost than what it's valued at. Like, no doubt every single person has got a card that they might have paid £10 for, that might have gone up to a £40 value. So you're in it for 10, but now it's worth at 40. So, obviously it's a bit different when, for especially for us, a lot of our stuff is PC. So not a lot of it is you're going to give it away. But then again, if it's a PC item, would you be more likely to trade it away in return for something that you wanted more than rather than just like a cash deal?
Yeah, I think it's one thing I think we've always said on the podcast in terms of that sort of physical trade element of the hobby that we maybe haven't seen so much in, you know, a year ago, let's say, to what we see now. Yeah. And I think it's a fantastic element of the hobby in terms of trading, where if you've had a PC item, let's say that's been sat in the PC for however long, and you think, actually, I've just seen this card at a card show or on Instagram somewhere, and you think, actually, I've been off this card for a little while now, and they go, yeah, I'm interested in taking trades. You sort of accumulate a lot of, you know, cards together and put it forward. It's almost as though, you know, you're getting it for free. It's that where it's like, you know, I've not spent anything. I've traded a few cards and got this card out of it. So it's a fantastic element. And I think, you know, you've proven that in terms of the trade you did. We all see the Henry Hall of Fame and the Balogun and getting the McCabe's back. And I think you just... it's a fantastic element where you can sort of, you know, you swap cards in and out. And I think, you know, you can get rid of a bit of stock you've had in for a little while now and sort of, you know, acquire a PC item, you know, a card that you maybe see more value in. And I know also trade value is different to also the actual sale value of the card and what you deem a card's trade value to be at in terms of what it's worth on the retail market, let's say. But I think, yeah, it's a fantastic element, I think, of the hobby that we... are definitely starting to properly explore a lot more than maybe could do 6 months ago. And I think we've seen a lot of good trade deals happen recently at London, at other card shows, you know, within the UK and within the US, that really brings to light the importance of trading in a hobby as well as just buying and selling.
No, 100%. I think it's one of them that, like we say, it's nice to see it being more implemented within the UK. And it was something that we said quite a few episodes ago that will slowly start creeping in. And it has done. And that's what's fantastic to see. Trading, people getting bought out as well. They've seen a lot more of that in the UK. There's a lot more liquid funds going around the UK hobby scene, which is great again to see. But like I say, it's always intriguing to talk about PSA buying, selling. Obviously, people would hate it if we didn't say if anyone's received any new cards this week or purchased any new cards. I do have a couple of examples waiting next to me. But obviously, the people are no doubt H is going to come with a massive pickup. Picked up anything this week, H?
No.
And on to the next one. So my pickup this week, lucky enough, I bought one. Actually, I had a couple of things arrive. One purchase that arrived was this lovely Georgia Stanway, which I did use as an example earlier on, variation from Sapphire this year, gold to 50. And then I had two break kits, both from TFF, arrive through this week. First one was a Gabriel Martinelli manga, obviously case hit from the new Prism, which in person, I've got to admit, are an absolute stunning card. And then I was rather on the, not bored side of work, but I wanted something to get me through an afternoon. And TFF was breaking a free box first off the line, where I thought, let me take Leandro Trossard and Gabby Jesus. And I managed to hit the lovely, it's harder to pick up the blue shimmer in person on camera, but a blue shimmer 2/8 Trossard. So H is shaking his head there because he's going to call me a lucky son of a sign, Carava. But obviously, and very two very nice, three very nice arrivals this week. So H, anything catch your eye? Obviously, I know you've got a few big cards in the US at the moment, but obviously the hunt continues for a few other cards. But anything else that you're thinking about purchasing or maybe waiting to come out? Like the rumor has it, obviously for us, there's a new Arsenal team set coming out in a couple of months' time. It's the Arsenal Forever set. So are you kind of holding fire, maybe rip a couple of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll say it week in, week out, people are getting bored of it, but obviously still looking for the Odegaard Gold Flood to 10. Also still looking for the Gunther Steiner to 5. I'm going to try and brave completing the manga set from Prism. I know the prices are gradually starting to sort of plateau out and settle a little bit more. So I may eventually, over the course of the end of this year, try and sort of complete the manga set from Prism. As a question for everyone that's listening and or watching along, and for you as well, Ronnie, that I've encountered recently that's driving me nuts. Now, for those of you obviously that may well be looking at it on eBay or not, there's an early guard gold flood to 10 on eBay. And a couple of people have obviously messaged me about this, that it is on there. Now, it is priced at $240, which for me is massively overpriced. You look at recent comps, there are like 107, 110, 130. One sold on Facebook for 110 3-4 days ago. Now, this guy is not willing to budge off of 240, which is fair enough. He's got the card, it's his the price. Don't blame him for doing that. But it's just jarring that there's three or four, there's probably five comps overall that are within $107 and $130. Yet this guy's priced it $100 more and is not willing to budge. So I just essentially wondered what your thoughts were on that in terms of, you know, what people's thoughts are overall on that whole situation in terms of being priced $100 over. Do you think, you know, in the day it's his card, he's priced at what's the price at? If it sells, you laugh. If it doesn't, he's been sat there for weeks on end. Because I'm pretty sure it's been on eBay for a good couple of months. So I guess it all comes down to whether you want a quick flip, you want to be able to hold on to it and try and get maximum value out of it. But for me, it's $100 over any form of comp. You know, the red to 10 recently went for £65. Before that, it went for £140. So you really are miles above where the market is at the moment. But that's just a side rant for me as well, because it's infuriating. It's the last card to complete the flood rainbow, but it's $100 over any comp recently.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting talking point. And I think it could be one of them that he might collect the Odegaard. I don't know the person. So I think there's a lot of cards that people do have that they wouldn't mind parting with, but obviously they're not going to part with it unless it's worth it. Who knows? He might be in it for $300-$400 and obviously he's taking a loss on it. So don't want to lose too much on it. But like I say, it depends on how active he is at trying to sell the item. I would say that unless he's been sending out offers, which by the sound of it, if he's quite strong at 240, he's probably not in a rush to sell the item. So it's one of them that I think if he was keen on selling it / wanted it gone, then he'd probably move a lot on the price. But then say, for example, he bought it for $300. He might be in his head, oh, I don't really want to do less than $230, $240, because after fees, it probably brings it around to that $200 mark. So obviously it'd be quite intriguing. Obviously I know you've reached out to him at times and he said he's strong on the price. So it's one of them that at the end of the day, it's his card. Who knows? He might just be invested in it, or he might like the card. It's a tricky one, but also now he knows you're interested in it. And because there might be demand on the item, he's thinking, well, I'm seeing the watchers go up. I'm seeing the people favorite it, like watch listed it going up. Keep it there. I think there's a lot to it, but I think that's what's quite intriguing with eBay. You can see the analytics of the item. And if people keep watching it and watch listing it, yeah. Would you say that probably one of the downfalls for it, that you might be like, you know what, someone might come along and just pay you at one point?
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, I completely get the gold aspect of it. Obviously, gold naturally sells very well. Arguably, you've got the red colour match, which equally sells probably as well as anything else. So, listen, this is no way in any form of, you know, digging him out or trying to sort of, you know, trying to negotiate anything. But at the end of the day, it's his card. He's priced it at 240, which in the grand scheme of things, obviously isn't astronomical. Don't get me wrong. It's very much high on comps. It's just, from my perspective, it's just obviously annoying because obviously it's the last card I need to complete the rainbow. But given recent comps, I'm not Yeah, I don't want to spend $240 when the card's realistically worth around no more than 160. I'd probably pay max. But hey, it's just interesting to get people's thoughts on that. You know, it's, people are well entitled to price the cards at what they want to price them at. Then no rush to move it. If you just stick it on eBay and try and get a high offer, then you know it was going the right way about it. But it's just interesting to see what people's thoughts and opinions and feelings were on that. When you know you're looking at a card that you know you equally really want, or you know you need to complete a set, but it's unfortunately priced massively over comps.
Yeah, I think, like I say, it's a brilliant talking point, and probably one that we'll probably refer back to in the next one, talk about in depth, slash if there's any progress on the iron. But obviously, before we do conclude, obviously, this episode, there's another UK podcast, which I'd love to say, we'd love to see more podcasts popping up. And it's two very good guys in the scene, both run card shows themselves. Obviously, Cardi Lee Sports Cards and Rainy City Cards have started up For the Love of Cards podcast. So I do say go and chuck them a follow, give it a listen. It was a very good listen. I've listened to the first one. So we want to wish them the best of luck with their podcasting venture. It's nice to hear, have another weekly podcast to listen to, because I can't obviously listen to our one every Tuesday because I don't want to listen to my voice again. So it's nice to obviously have a podcast on a Monday now and a podcast on a Wednesday. So check out them. So obviously check out Pat Rips on the Monday and check out their one, obviously, every Wednesday. But like I say, H, it's been another lovely episode, minus the technical difficulties in between of your internet provider trying to silence you. But like I say, next time, maybe dial up that bandwidth a little bit. Maybe plug in the old dial-up back in the day, you know what I mean?
They needed something. I mean, it's never gone wrong ever in, what, like 90 episodes that I've been on the podcast, but for some reason on this Saturday in March, it wanted to just completely go against me.
Yeah, like I say, it's like I say, a massive thank you for everyone. Funny enough, we're both jet setting next weekend. Don't worry, there's still an episode out next Tuesday. We'll be recording it prior to going out, but I am very looking forward to a little trip to the Emerald Isles myself. Who knows, might bump into the guys over at Soccer Gods United, then I might try and, knowing them, I'd probably say, oh, you got any Katie McCabe's on you? And I'll probably end up coming home with no money. I spent too much money on Guinness and McCabe, which is a high possibility. But like we say, H, any more closing words for the guys before we outro this episode?
No, I think obviously there's a lot to look forward to in the coming months. You know, I think obviously at the moment, obviously we've got Dub Breaks. Shout out to Dub Breaks again, obviously live on Twitch with obviously a nice couple of breaks happening tonight. But no, I think apart from that, it's just keep going. I think the hobby is definitely at a good place at the moment. Definitely a lot of interaction, a lot of obviously positive comments within the hobby at the moment. So yeah, obviously on to the next obviously couple of months, and hopefully back into card show season in full swing, and a brawl on summer.
Yeah, like we say, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, again, thank you everyone who's taken the time to listen, watch, or whatever maybe to do with the podcast. Hope every single person out there is doing well, staying safe, and your families are doing well as well. But most importantly, keep remembering, because I always say for a lot of buying, selling, trading, all that good stuff, but people actually are trading now, so it's slowly working. But hope everyone out there is buying, selling, trading, and all that good jazz. But most importantly, happy hobbying and good night.